Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today with open hearts. We worship you. We worship your holy name. You are a great God, and we stand in awe of you. Thank you for such a wonderful morning so far. Thank you for these children and the workers that they spent time at VBS, and thank you for the souls that were saved this week as well. Be with us. Open our hearts as the pastor brings the word, so that we may be changed by the words that he preaches and teaches from your word. It is in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.
I said it is a good morning. Amen. If you're here today and you were able to get up out of bed and put your feet on the floor and get you a shower, glory to God, and get some clothes on and get to church, you've been blessed already. Amen. And we are in the second of a sermon series on the holiness of God this morning. And we're going to be in Revelation 4. Wasn't Sunday school adults? Wasn't that fantastic? So we're going to go back to the book of the Revelation. And it is the Revelation. It's not Revelations. There's one revelation of who Jesus Christ is. And it's in this book here. Matter of fact, he's in all 66 books. He's on every page. He's in every chapter. He's in both testaments. This is a hymn book. It's all about him. All right. Let me just say this. You may remember last week, we looked at the vision that Isaiah had of God and how he saw God in all of his holiness. And it led to conviction of sin and confession of sin and cleansing from sin. And then the call to serve led to all of those things. And you know, when you get a real picture of who God is and you get in his presence, you'll be changed. You can't walk out the way you came in. You're different. And so, and then there's others in Ezekiel, Daniel, the Apostle Paul. They were also given a vision of the Lord. They saw the Lord. And but this morning, we're looking at another vision of the Lord given this time to the great Apostle John. And the things that all of these men expressed are very similar. The common characteristic in all of these different visions, when folks saw God and realized they were in the presence of Almighty God, they were astounded at God's holiness. Holiness. Revelation 4 and 5 give the details of John's visit to the throne. Let's all get a glimpse of the glory today. Amen? Let's rise one more time. I know we've been up and down, but let me just read the first couple of verses of Scripture to you, and then we'll dive in to what we need to do here today. All right. Revelation 4. After these things I looked, and behold, say, look a here, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice, John says, which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me. Y'all know when the rapture takes place, what are we going to hear? Yeah, we're going to hear a trumpet blast. I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me saying, come up here and I will show you things which must take place after this. And immediately I was in the Spirit. Father, would you honor your word today one more time? We want to lift up Jesus because he is the word. And Father, we want to ask that your spirit, your manifest presence, might sit down amongst us in such a way that we would get a glimpse of the glorified Christ. God, we need to hear from you. We need to see you. Lord, help us to leave here differently than the way we came in. We'll all be better for it. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Man, what a week we've had. Whew, mercy me, what a week we've had. Now, John is in this tremendous vision on the Lord's Day. He's on the island of Patmos, quarrying rock. He's a political prisoner, if you will. And he all of a sudden, he finds himself in the spirit of... How many of you find yourself in the spirit from time to time? Come on, you Baptists, come on. And so John is given this great vision, which had to do with the glorified Christ, but was also getting in on some... He was privy to some some future events that were going to take place. And by the way, verses 1 and 2 is also a picture of the rapture. Do any of y'all want to get raptured? Yeah. And so this is really, verse 1 is a picture. You don't see the church again from chapter 4 all the way to chapter 19. The church has been taken out, raptured. And so John sees this great event, and he's in the midst of some unbelievable things that are happening. And as Billy reminded us, there's going to be a wedding ceremony for the bride of Christ, and then there's going to be a wedding celebration going on. And so Jesus comes and takes the church as his bride here in this passage, and the marriage supper of the Lamb then ensues thereafter. And so John sees all of these things in the future happening and coming to fruition, but the scene that he's seeing right here is in heaven, the very throne of God. Can you imagine? The very throne of God. Now, he's watching all these things envelop and these things take place, the great tribulation, all that, the rise of the Antichrist, all these things happening. And it does seem at times, as John's viewing all this, that man, Satan's will is going to be accomplished. But John sees God on the throne. And he sees the omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, thrice holy God of the universe on the throne. And so this is a great comfort to a people who are persecuted. This is a great comfort to people who are hurting. This is a blessing to people who are going through some really tough times. That ought to speak to us here today. If you're going through a rough time, if you're going through something you don't quite understand, if these are tough days, I mean, if there's tribulation going on in your life today or in your family, bless God, He is still on the throne. And He's in control. And nothing happens to us unless it's been filtered through His great big holy hands. He is with you. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, He's with us. And even better than that, He's on the throne. Hallelujah. All right, that's just the introduction. Y'all are in trouble. We've got plenty of time today because, hallelujah, we don't have to get ready for Sunday school. We've already had it. The apostle saw this tremendous throne in heaven, and he saw one sitting on it. Look at verse 2. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne in heaven, and one, capital O, sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow, and I'll get to the rainbow here in just a minute, but John sees this throne, and sitting on the throne was none other than whom? The Lord God. And it's the thrice holy God of Israel. And you know, the Trinity, y'all, that's a mystery. Don't try to figure it out, just believe it. All right? You'll go crazy trying to figure out the Trinity. But you'll be lost if you don't believe it. Because God is three in one. Not three gods, one God, three personalities. God the Father, God the Son, and God... I don't need to be preaching on the Trinity today, but anyways, the one seated on this throne that John sees is none other than God Almighty. And then he's trying to use y'all earthly language to describe heavenly stuff. And that's tough. That's hard to do. And so he says, here's the first thing he says about being on the throne, is that it was like a jasper. What he's seeing here was like the colors were like a jasper and a sardius. Now, those are stones in the high priest's breastplate. I think the jasper and the sardius were the first and last stones in the high priest's breastplate, signifying the firstborn of Israel, and who was Reuben, and then the lastborn, who was Benjamin. There you go, Bible scholars. And so that's telling John, man, God is a covenant-keeping God. He hasn't forgotten about Israel, and don't you make the mistake that God has forgotten about Israel. He has not forgotten about Israel, and we better not forget about her either. Keep your eye on Israel, and you'll see what God's prophetic time clock looks like. And so, and now, just kind of bear with me a minute here. A jasper was probably, what he's talking about here is a diamond. Girls, let's see those diamonds. Are y'all ashamed of your diamonds, girls? Hold that diamond up in the light. Thank you. Do you see those things sparkling and shining and shimmering? I know there wasn't, you didn't get to see but three of them, but that's what he's seeing here. The shining, sparkling, Shekinah glory of God. That's what he's trying to say there. And it, those things remind us of God's holiness. God is holy. He's so holy. And then the sardius was a deep red stone. And the sardius reminded John and us, it represents the righteousness and the wrath of Almighty God. As we mentioned last week and today, God is holy and His wrath burns against sin. Don't you think you're going to get by with your sin? Jesus didn't get by with it, neither will we. Y'all say amen over here. Say amen. Amen. Say amen. Amen. All right. Well, that's good. The middle crowd's with it today. All right. So God's holy. And that's what John's looking at. He's seeing the holiness of God in these bright, unbelievable colors. And then John saw some things around the throne. Now look again there at, he says, and there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Now, John sees this emerald-looking rainbow around the throne. Now, that reminds us not of alternative lifestyles. It reminds us, a rainbow reminds us of the great promises of God. God promised us in grace and mercy and faithfulness that He would never destroy the creation again with the flood. And so, bro, I mean, every time I see a rainbow, my heart's filled with hope because God's on His throne. And John's being reminded by this tremendous circle, this great rainbow. What do y'all think of when you see a rainbow in the sky? God's faithfulness. He keeps His promises. And I'm filled with hope on it. And by the way, if God's made you a promise, you can count on it. Amen. Look at Max smiling down here. She's gotten some of those promises. And so if God's made a promise, you can take it to the bank. And so God's never going to destroy creation again with a flood. And then John sees something else around the throne. Watch this. Around the throne, verse 4, were 24 thrones. And on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes. And they had crowns of gold on their heads. Now, John sees 24 thrones sitting, and on those 24 thrones were some elders sitting there. And they're, let me just unpack this as best I can. Now, who are these folks? We got the great God on the main throne, but you've got these other thrones. Who are these people? Well, Billy and I talked for about half an hour about this the other night on my way down here to Bible school. And some people think that these are angelic beings. Well, some people say this is Israel. Some folks say this is the church. Some folks say this is a combination of the church and Israel. And so which one is it? Well, angels don't reign, they serve. They're standing at God's beck and call. And angels are not elders. People are elders. And so, and then they're described as these folks sitting on the thrones are described wearing white garments. Well, all through the book of Revelation, you see these wonderful, saved, glorified people in their glorified state, and they're all wearing white robes, which symbolizes what? Purity. The righteous acts of the saints, if you really want to get specific about it. And then they're all wearing golden crowns, which speaks of what? Positions and places of service. And the rewards that are going to be handed out by Christ. You know, when we're raptured, we're going to the powder room. God's going to clean us up. Amen? And we're going to be given those rewards, those things that we did for God's glory. And you're going to be rewarded with a position or a place of service. I said earlier, I think maybe Peggy Landrum's going to be the mayor of Clarksville then. Y'all miss Sunday school, I guess. Anyways, and so I don't think we're talking about angels here. And you could make a case for the elders, and this is where I used to be, and this is kind of where Billy used to be. I used to think that this was a combination of the 12, since you've got 24, you know, 12 and 12 is the number of government and the number of completion. So you put 12 and 12 together, and so sitting on these thrones is the 12 apostles and the 12 patriarchs of the 12 tribes of Israel. But as I've gotten a little bit older and I've read and prayed and studied more, I don't believe that's really the case of who's on these thrones either, and I've got a lot of, I haven't totally settled on this. I can't be real dogmatic about exactly who these folks are, but at the time of this vision, the nation as a whole, the nation of Israel, had not been redeemed. Their national judgment and salvation comes later, primarily during the tribulation and even in the millennial reign, which you heard about in Sunday school through the preaching. You remember those 144,000 Jewish Billy Grahams? They're going to preach the gospel, and the entire world's going to hear the gospel, every language group, every tongue, every tribe. And so when the 24 elders are first introduced in right here in chapter 4, the events of tribulation have not completely all taken place yet. So I believe this is probably, maybe, the glorified, coronated church of the Lord Jesus Christ sitting on these thrones, reigning and ruling with Christ. You say, well, who are they? Billy Graham, C.W. Stokes, Charles Spurgeon. I don't know who they are, but they're going to be something else. And they have already been given the right to judge the people on the earth, okay? So, that's kind of where we are. And really, y'all, don't get tied up in who are these 24 elders. What matters is that God's on His throne, and He's allowing any of us to help reign and rule with Him. So, hallelujah for that. And then John sees some things from the throne. Now, watch this. It just gets better. Now, we're going somewhere with holiness. Y'all got to stay here with me, all right? Say holy. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And so John sees these flashes of lightning and hears thunder coming from the throne. In other words, John said, man, there's a storm coming. A thunderstorm. Tribulation is coming upon those who have rejected Christ. And full-scale thunders. How many of y'all, a few days ago, we had a massive thunderstorm. And man, there's lightning going on everywhere and the thunder is just booming. Well, that's what John begins to see. What we're looking at here, of course, the divine fury of Almighty God is about to be unleashed upon a sin-cursed planet. Whew. And then John sees these seven lamps of fire before the throne. And we're told what those seven lamps of fire are. They're the seven spirits of God. Now, you know, seven is the number of divine perfection and completion. It's the number of deity. We're in the seventh year. We're in the seventh year. And God is perfecting us this year and completing us as the body of Christ as to who we need to be and who He's called us to be. This is a special season that we're in. It is. It is. And so the number seven here is very significant, I believe. And so I think John's seeing the Holy Spirit in all of His fullness. The Comforter is about ready to become the consumer of those who have rejected Him. By the way, that's a good preaching title if you need a sermon right there. And so we won't go there, but that's what John's seeing, and that's what God's revealing to him. And then John sees this sea of glass. Watch this. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass, like crystal. Now, this sea is shining brilliantly before the throne. And you could, again, almost sense John's frustration. What is a sea of glass doing? Well, again, you're talking about colors and sounds and unbelievable things that are going on, beauty of light and color and all of that. But the throne is almost beyond John's earthly ability to describe with earthly language. And by the way, when John was in the Spirit, he was on the island of Patmos, which is separated by 60 miles where the church of Ephesus, where he pastored, by the way, 60 miles of separation of the Aegean Sea. And so could it be there's an even deeper meaning there that John's no longer separated? And we're no longer separated. We're with God. Hallelujah. So much before the throne, and then in the midst of the throne. And boy, this is really getting something like, just look at this. Verse 6, before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures, full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature, like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night. So John sees in the midst of the throne these four living creatures in the midst and around the throne. And they had eyes in the front and in the back, which speaks of God's wisdom and God's watchfulness. And they had different faces with six wings. And you know, I was reminded, you remember the cherubim we saw over there in Isaiah 6 last week? You remember that? I was reminded of those cherubim in Isaiah 6 and even in Ezekiel 1. And their faces, I think they can probably change, you know, shift and change. But John sees their faces and they're represented by wild animals. That's what the lion signifies. And then the domestic animals by the calf, they're represented by the calf. And then human life, which is, you know, the face of a man is on one of the creatures. And then bird life is represented by an eagle. And so I think these angels, these cherubim, are probably representative of all of creation. You know, we first met the cherubim where? Way back in the Garden of Eden. You remember that? And they're guarding the gate to Eden. Because Adam and Eve were now in sin, and if they got back in Eden and ate of the tree of life, they'd be in their sin forever. And so the cherubim are guarding that place. And then we also see the cherubim there in the Holy of Holies, over the mercy seat, overseeing the shed blood being shed for the forgiveness of sin. And we see them again in Ezekiel signifying God's power. And so the cherubim or the seraphim in Isaiah 6 last week, what were they crying out? Do you remember? when Isaiah saw the Lord and these angelic beings, they were crying out, what? Watch this. And they do not rest day or night saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And so, these creatures also had six wings. And with two, they covered their face because God's so holy, you can't look upon Him. And with two wings, they covered their feet because, bless God, they're on holy ground. And with two, they flew. And so John's seeing these four living creatures, and they're all crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And it seems to me that worship, where's Brother Andrew? Worship is their calling, their privilege, and their occupation. And the chief, listen to this, the chief attribute of the object of their worship was holiness. Holiness. That, as we mentioned last week, they're not crying out, mercy, mercy, mercy. They're not crying, loving, loving, loving. They're crying out, holy, holy. Don't you ever forget, God is holy. He is holy. He's different from us. Don't ever forget that. Yes, God is a God of love, but God is holy, first and foremost. That's why He has to judge sin. He has to be just, because He would cease to be God if He wasn't holy. And do you see the dilemma God was in? He knew. In eternity past, He knew if He created us that we would what? And so He's thinking, oh my. And He looked through heaven and He found His Savior in the person of His Son and sent Jesus to take care of the issue of sin so that we could be found in... Isn't God good? Where is the fear of the Lord today, brothers and sisters? It's like there is no more fear of God. Well, I want to tell you, you get a glimpse of God today and you're going to have a Holy Ghost, heaven-sent fear, respect, and reverence of God Almighty. And so we're about done, but now I want to go somewhere with this holiness. Now look what's toward the throne. Now, we're going to look at the last part of verse 4, and then we're going to look at a couple of verses over there in chapter 5, because this is going to be good. I promise it's going to be good. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. You think John's trying to make a point there? Yeah, he's trying to make a point. The 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever, and they cast their crowns before the throne. Let me tell you, if you receive, there's five crowns in the New Testament that God's people are going to receive, five different crowns. And don't think that you're going to be given a crown so you can prance all over glory with that crown. No, you're going to lay them at the feet of Jesus in worship. And He says, who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O God, O Lord. That word Lord is the word Yahweh, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. And so you got something going on here. Now look, how do I say this? You got five great hymns of praise sung by a choir that just keeps getting larger and larger and larger in chapter 4 and verse 5. Now watch this. The Holy Ghost Quartet starts off with the Holy Ghost Quartet chorus. Holy, holy, holy. Y'all with me so far? And then it's followed by How Great Is Our God chorus. In verse 8, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And then the 24 elders join in with Worthy is the Lamb medley in verse 10. Did you catch that? They sit on the throne and they worship Him who lives forever and cast their crowns before the throne. And then in chapter 5 in verse 8, watch this. Now when He had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp. And so they pick up the harps in a praise chorus. And then look what happens in chapter 5, verse 11. The angels join in the choir. Chapter 5, verse 11. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne. The living creatures, the elders, the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Wow. So, and then in verse 13 of chapter 5, you've got a mighty chorus of praise God from whom all blessings flow. There in verse 13, watch this, and every creature was as in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and forever. And then there's a sevenfold shout of praise. Y'all want to know why I ask you every now and then to just shout? Because it's biblical. It's biblical. Look at verse 12. Saying with a loud voice. That sounds like a shout to me, doesn't it? Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. The heavens are declaring the glory and the majesty and the holiness of our God. Right now they're doing that. Shouldn't we join them? I said, shouldn't we join them? And some of you grew up, like me, thinking you can't be holy and happy at the same time. What a ridiculous thought. And I'd go to church, man, hear fantastic preaching and great music when I was a kid growing up, and we're all sitting there on our hands. When you encounter the living God and you see Him, and experience Him in all of His glory and all His majesty. Man, you can't help but shout. You can't help but sing. You can't help but give praise. Now, Adam, I'm going to give you a little work right now. Would you put chapter 5 and verse 12 up on the board? And here's how we're going to end the service today. Just verse 12 in chapter 5. Are y'all ready for this? I don't think you are. All right, now there it is. See it? Saying with a loud voice. And so what I want us all to do right now is stand our feet. And I want us to give a sevenfold shout of praise. And we're going to begin with the word worthy. This brother played some music today, and three or four times he said, worthy is the Lamb. He said, worthy is God. He's worthy. You remember that? And so now we're going to join the sevenfold chorus of praise. Everybody shout with me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Come on, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. One more time. Y'all didn't do justice to it. One more time. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. To receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Father, thank you. Thank you that all of creation will one day bow at your feet and confess that Jesus is Lord. Every knee's going to bow. And all of creation is going to shout this sevenfold chorus of praise. And God, I want to thank you for the angel choirs right now that are singing praise. I want to thank you for the Holy Ghost quartets that's singing holy, holy, holy. I want to thank you, Lord, for what's going on in heaven. And God, help us to get ready down here for what we're going to be doing up there. Holy, holy, holy are you. And Lord, I don't even begin to know what you want to do with this message today. But I just believe, God, there's an issue of holiness with some folks that are here. And we need to get something right with you. And as I was reminded yesterday, Father, none of us know how much time we have left. None of us know how many days we have. All of us have an appointment with you, but we don't know when that is. And so, God, I do believe there are folks here that want to finish well, that want to honor you with a life lived in holiness, the holiness of God, that we speak holy things over people, that we would think holy thoughts, that we would commit holy actions and deeds, that we would live lives, God, worthy and purified, set apart, sanctified, separated for your glory. God, if there's 2 or 10 or 20 here that need to make decisions for Christ, that's one way we can reverence you. That's one way where we can submit to you. And Lord, I don't know whether there's folks here, maybe we've had folks saved this week and they're ready for their baptism. And maybe you just need to lead them so we can set up their day of baptism. And Lord, there's not just children here who have been saved and need to be baptized. There's adults here that need to do the same thing and get that baptism on the right side of the cross. That's a commandment from you. And Lord, there are others here that really, really need your help. And we just want you to know, Father, we are yours. You do with us what you want to do with us. And I pray, God, even now, that you might minister life to the people of Almighty God right here. And brothers and sisters, we're going to open this altar up one more time today. Andrew's going to sing something for us and lead us in a time of response. If you feel like there's something you need to get right with God, maybe it's church membership, maybe it's baptism, maybe it's an issue of holiness, maybe it's something else, maybe it's forgiveness, you let God speak to your heart. You do what He's telling you to do. Father, we ask this all in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Lead us, Brother Andrew.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.